This will be, not Chronicles, Colossians, excuse me. Book of Colossians. I apologize. Book of Colossians, this is part 4, subtitled All, It Is All in Him. It does little good if we, as Christians, declare the truth but do not demonstrate it. Starting off there, it does little good if we, as Christians, declare the truth but do not demonstrate it. Amen. As I've said before, I'm going to say again, amen, that there is a direct correlation between belief and behavior. Your belief should dictate or determine your behavior.
Right.
Colossians chapter 3, and I'll just read verse number 1 so you can be seated. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Oh God, there's so much right here. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. God bless you. You may be seated in the wonderful name of Jesus. The longer I pastor, the more inadequate I feel. And I do think where Paul said he thanked God for calling him and putting him into the ministry. I do not regret that, yet I realize how little I do know and I do understand when it comes to the things of God. We are now at a place of new life. We have studied there in the first 2 chapters of Colossians and dealt with what God has done for us and who He is. We've dealt with a lot of truth and in facts of who and what God has done. In the last 2 chapters that we are about to embark upon and study in, Paul deals with what a new Christian should do and be. Thus, the idea or the thought of belief becoming our behavior. If we really truly believe in the first 2 chapters that it is all in Him, then everything that we do in action, amen, now becoming, amen, what we really are, should be Christ-like. So here in the opening setting of Scripture, if we then, and that word if is very strong, and is a very powerful word, if, it's so small, but there's a lot of power there when it says if. So if ye then be risen, that means that if you're not risen, there's 2 ways to go down this road. If leaves a lot to be determined. Amen. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things. Amen. If we are risen in Him, there is a need for us to seek the things which are heavenly or are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This word if also can be since. Since ye are risen with Christ. Since ye have done that. The right hand, we know, also is a figurative expression denoting that of Christ's preeminence and Christ's power. It is not separating Jesus as if Jesus is sitting on the right hand. Let me get that right instead of left hand. On the right hand of God. It is not to separate Jesus, and we understand that today, but it is to denote His preeminence and His power. Thus, Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 6, it says, "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces
the enemy, amen, that Jesus Christ has dashed the enemies in pieces because of his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Therefore, we have this glorious power in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Then we skip down, or not skip down, but just start methodically working through verse number 2. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. This is to habitually concentrating through daily practice. Now that's a lot there. Habitually concentrating through daily practice. Our minds need to be enveloped in and upon the presence of God continually. I don't know about you, but it sometimes certain things take more concentration. My wife the other day, I could tell that she was studying some books and some schooling that she's going through, that when the grandkids were there and when I was there, we would break her concentration. Amen. She needed that time to sincerely concentrate, to grasp the concepts of what she was trying to learn. And if you don't spend that time concentrating on him, you're not going to glean, or should I say, retain the things of God like you need to retain. So the scripture said, set your affection, habitually concentrate through daily practice. Set your love. Are you really in love with Jesus today?
Right, come on.
Now, I know it's easy for us to immediately say you are in love with him, but if you are in love with him, are you habitually concentrating?
Yeah.
Because that's really going to determine the depth of love that you really have for him.
Right.
And it will be through somewhat of what we would call those daily practices and daily consecrations unto him. And we're to do that on the things that are eternal, not temporal. Where I can say we habitually concentrate with daily practice our alarm that is set for us to go to work so we can bring home the almighty dollar. But are our affections as well programmed as our temporal?
Yeah, come on, come on.
Are we that much? We are. So, well, if I didn't have to work, I wouldn't work. I was listening to a CD, message the other day as we were driving with Brother Alfred, and he was talking, Brother Copeland was talking about the destiny of one soul and how he was bringing certain things across that really began to prick my heart of just really how many of us are really ready to make heaven our home, and how much love do we still have for the things that are temporal?
Right.
Come on. Amen. How much love do we really still have for the things that are temporal? Could we honestly say, God, whatever it takes to see me saved, I want you to do it? Could we say that, God, if it takes me being found in a twisted wreck of metal in a car wreck to see me saved, do whatever it takes to see me saved? Could we say, if disease has to come my way, whatever tragedy has to come my way in order for me to be saved, God, do whatever. Now, some of y'all are looking at me all crazy. Oh, Pastor, I don't know why. Yeah, some of you aren't saved. That's the reason why. And I'm preaching to the church.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
You cannot honestly say, whatever it takes, God, I must be saved. You cannot honestly say that today. Some of you, there are others that can, but there are others that could not say, whatever it takes. God, if you've got to take my family, if you've got to take my children, and my children die, my spouse die, whatever it is, God, that see me saved. There would be some that if that happened, you would curse God and die and blame it all on God. But what will it take for us really to be saved? Are your affections truly set on things above and not on this earth? Verse number 3 said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. Ye are dead. I'm preaching to a few dead folks, but I'm preaching probably more to people that are alive in their own desires than I am dead folks. It's the response to the invitation to sin that requests that RSVP, if you will. Can you say to sin, we regret that we cannot attend because we have recently died? When that invitation, my God have mercy, when that invitation to sin and follow after your own lust, your own desires, can you respond back from that invitation to sin with the RSVP? No, I regret that I cannot be there because I've recently died out to my old carnal nature. I've died out to my old sinful desires. I've died out to the lust of my flesh. I've died to the lust of my eye. I've died to my old pride. I cannot make it.
Right.
Because I've recently died, and now I'm hid, I'm buried in Christ. Galatians 2 and 20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet, but Christ liveth in me. I'm not dead, but I'm alive because of Christ. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God. Amen. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved me, who gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There we go again with the law. Oh, there's some things I better not get too bogged down in. There's got to be a balance between grace and truth. There's got to be a balance between the law and mercy.
Amen.
And now I'll leave that there. I've got to go on. Verse number 4. For ye are dead. For ye are dead. I want to make sure that I'm dead.
That's right.
Yep.
I want to make sure that I'm dead.
Amen.
Verse number 4 said, when Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Who is our life? Who is? Jesus is our life. Jesus, I know it's a nice little, has a nice little sound to it, but Jesus is the only reason I live.
Right, amen.
Now, that has a nice ring to it, but are we really honest when we say, he's all that I'm living for? My job is secondary. My house, my clothes, my income, my education, all of the things of this life are truly secondary. He is the reason that I breathe. He is the reason that I have hope in the morning. He is everything.
Oh, yes.
men, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't want to doubt in no way, shape, or form. So understand this. I'm not doubting that that is. But your belief will determine your behavior.
Right.
If he really is the reason that you live, you'll give when it hurts.
Right.
You'll do things that you don't want to do.
That's good.
I said you'll do things that you don't want to do.
Amen.
You'll give it places, and I'm not talking monetarily, but it can be used that way. You'll give them your life. You'll put your pride away. Like Brother Pearson was saying the other day, you'll set your pride aside if Jesus is the reason that you live, and you'll testify to somebody irregardless of how you feel. You'll set that aside and say, you know what? I'm dead. I cannot live in this prideful way and not testify to that man or that woman that needs God and needs relief from the sin of this world. I'm going to die. Oh, God, have mercy. See, some of you say you're living in Christ, but you're not living in Christ. Will you tell God no? I said you're not living in Christ when you tell God no. When you tell him, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say something to them. What you're doing is you're living unto yourself. You are not dead. But you're very much alive in your own self. Well, hallelujah. I want us to look introspectively at ourselves here today. I'm way too much alive. I got way too much of myself still inside of me. I still got way too much of my own desires and my own nature rising up on the inside of me. When he says this, he says, who is our light shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He gives us power to live for him now, but he gives us hope of the future, of some real glory. You see, we are so tempted to have glory here, but the glory that is to come far supersedes any glory that we could ever feel, any glory that we could ever imagine here. But the only way we're going to experience that is if we hide our life in Jesus Christ and become dead to ourselves. Help us, Jesus. Verse 5 said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Semicolon there, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When we look here, the word mortify means to put to death. Put to death. Consider yourself dead and unresponsive. Wow. Consider yourself dead and unresponsive. Do you realize today that nobody can make you mortify the members of your flesh? Nobody can make you do this today. Not even God can make you mortify the members of your body. You are the only one that has the control and the power to put to death the members of this body, of this flesh. You are the only one that has the ability to consider yourself dead and unresponsive. To what? To fornication. Do you realize here today, fornication, sexual sins of any type, the root word of fornication is pornea. Do you understand today that is the root word for pornography? Fornication is and does envelop pornography. If you have any tendency or draw to pornography, you are in fornication.
Yeah.
The Bible still said that if a man looks on a woman and lusteth after her, he has committed adultery in his heart already.
Right.
If you look at pornography,
Amen.
You are just as well an adulterer.
Yeah.
Right.
In your spirit, in your so don't put it off. And say, well, I didn't do it. Now, I understand that the actual sexual act is the failure thereof. But the Bible said the root word of fornication is porneia, which is the root word for pornography. You are giving it to your flesh.
Right.
You are giving in to those things.
Amen.
And it said, put to death those things. Consider them dead and unresponsive. I understand what type of world we're living in. We're living in a world of sensuality and sex on every corner being thrown in our face.
Yes, right.
I understand that. But I got to consider myself dead and unresponsible.
Right. Right.
No matter how...
Also,
I'm telling you, on both sides of the fence, both of men and women, this is an issue that we face, and we must fight and consider ourselves dead and unresponsive. It's going to come to your eyes. It's going to come and meet you at different places at different times. But that's where we got to go mortify. Right here is where I got to put it to death. Right here is where I got to become unresponsive. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. We know inordinate affection. The scripture talks at length about those. He talks at length about homosexuality. He talks at length in several places throughout the scripture, even on bestiality, things that are not natural. God did not make woman for woman, man for man,
right,
but he
right.
made the woman for the man and the man for the woman,
right.
and nothing else. Right. It is a sanctity that yeah. God ordained. I know it's not popular. I know it's not the thing that people want to hear, but this is the word of God. It is inordinate affection. Listening, and this was just and this was crazy, but I don't know what the statistics might be today, but Brother Copeland had done a study of 100 children in the middle school age from I believe he said it was an age of 11 to 14, wasn't it? It was 11 to 14 for Alfred. Do you remember that statistic they said? I think it was 11 to 14. But they went into the public school, unbeknownst to the parents, and they asked the parents from the ages of 11 to 14, how many of you have already experienced sexual promiscuity, drugs, alcohol, and all of those things? And 79% of them at the age of 11 to 14 had already experienced them. 11, and that was over 20 years ago. 20 years ago, they already had been experiencing by the age of 11 to 14. That means with that ratio, out of 10, 8 of them have experienced it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 8 of these young people right here have already been involved in it.
Right.
And I can tell you how many actually are that I know for sure are. And that statistic proves true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pastor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's true. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not preaching some fictitious thing here today.
Right.
It is a battle for your soul every day, every hour, every moment of the day. There is a battle for hell to consume your soul. But nobody has If you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. He's a liar and the father of lies. If you want to be saved, you can. But you're going to mortify the members of your body. I'm going to say no. I'm dead. I'm responsible to the desires and the lust of my flesh. Evil concupiscence is simply evil, lustful desires. I've got to make myself unresponsive. Amen. Desires lead to deeds. Appetites lead to actions. These desires that are evil. You say, well, you're making it sound like everything's evil. No, I'm not making it sound like everything's evil. Sex was intended by God to be pure.
Yes.
Amen.
Man, Pastor, you're getting pretty plain. We don't have little kids in here. It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
And every one of these kids, boy, if they knew, if you only knew what all these kids knew, you'd go, oh.
Yes,
ugh.
Sir.
Right. I ain't scared to tell them what's right.
That's right.
God ordained that.
Right.
God blessed that.
Yeah.
He said the bed was undefiled.
Right.
Amen.
It was intended to bring pleasure.
Right.
Yeah.
It was God's plan. But sin has made it divisive. Sin has messed it up. Sin has made it all twisted and bent out of shape. And that's the way some of our kids are learning it. It's a twisted way. It's a deviant way.
Well,
so I have a responsibility today. To preach it the right way.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Evil concupiscence, evil desires. I thank God we've got some young men that are desirous of young ladies. That's a good start.
Amen.
Especially in this world today.
Yes.
That's a good start that we got some young ladies that are interested in young men. Man, thank God. That's a good start. But we got to do it right.
Yes.
We got to do it right if you want the blessings of God.
Yes.
Covetousness, amen, an unsatisfied spirit, an unsatisfied spirit, amen. The Bible said, which is idolatry, an unsatisfied spirit, which is idolatry. Idolatry is that idea of me first. That is what we are living in today. We are living in a me first. Please me first.
Amen. Come on.
Paul got pretty specific when he started talking about these things, about how to be a real Christian.
Yeah.
These are things of how to be a real Christian. This is the outline for being a godly individual. Colossians 3:5 in the Amplified Version says, so kill, deaden, deprive of the power.
I like that.
Deprive of the power, the evil desires lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all the earthly and all that is earthly in you that is employed by sin. Sexual vices, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry. The defying of oneself and other created things instead of God. Amen. Deprive the power. How many times have we preached? And how many times, I don't even hardly have to say it, a good dog and y'all can finish the rest. Yeah. You feed your good dog, he's going to grow. You feed your bad dog, we got two dogs inside of us. But a good clean dog doesn't ever rub off on a dirty dog.
Right.
A dirty dog always, always rubs off on a clean one. And so that's why you must be very, very good. Well, how can we win anybody to God? I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest part, is you don't become like them.
Right.
And you got to be aware of that. You got to understand that going into that. I've got to gird up the loins of my mind. I got to put on all of the things of the helmet of salvation, all the things that are going to keep me spiritually strong, because it's easy for dirt to get off on somebody that's clean.
Right.